Good morning. Well, first of all, I want to begin by thanking all the people that prayed for me this week to help in message preparation. One thing I've learned from having this long COVID issue is the power of prayer. And I've mentioned this before, and there's times where I'm like, I can feel during the day that I know somebody's praying for me. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty powerful. He hears and answers our prayers. I also want to thank Mike Leary. So this is like the third time that he's been ready as my backup, and he's on the bench, I guess. So thanks, Mike. And one thing, too, is I really appreciate all the men who come here on a regular basis. It takes a lot of work to prepare these messages. And I was never a good student in school or whatever, but it's very challenging to come and be prepared. And I thank them for doing that. And we should really appreciate them that do that on a regular basis. So let's open up our time in prayer. Father, thank you for this time to come here this morning. Thank you for your living word that we can come and feed on, and feed our souls and spirits to draw closer to you. Just pray that you give me strength and mental clarity right now to share these things, and that it would honor and glorify your name. Amen. So we're in Psalm 139, and we're going to complete Psalm 139 today. It was written by David, and we're going to look at the final 12 verses. But before we do, let's review a few things. Last time we saw in Psalm 139 that it is a wonderful and theological psalm. We saw four attributes of our great and mighty God. In verses 1 through 6, we see the omniscience of God, that he is all-knowing. David begins this psalm with the words, O Lord, the self-existent one. He is the eternal one, the one who knows all things, and he knows all things about us. He not only knows everything about us, but he knows the thoughts and intentions with which we do them. The Lord is all-knowing. In verses 7 through 12, we looked at the omnipresence of God, that he is ever-present. He is always with you. There is nowhere we can go to escape the presence of the Lord. You can't hide in a dark room and the Lord not see you. For he says, the night is as bright as day. The omnipresence of the Lord is a great source of comfort if we were ever to find ourselves in an uncomfortable situation. Today we're going to conclude this psalm with the last two awesome attributes of God. Verses 13 through 18 talk about the omnipotence of God, that he is all-powerful and he gives life. Verses 19 through 24, the holiness of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. If you haven't noticed, I'm going to quote this one quote each time. And this is from the guy named Yeats. And he said this, from the standpoint of Old Testament theology, this is the climax of thought in the Psalter on God's personal relationship to the individual. One thing I discovered in studying Psalm 139, if you look up verses on the omniscience of God, it references Psalm 139. If you look up verses on the omnipresence of God, it takes you right to Psalm 139. How much more personal can you get than opening up the psalm and you're reminded he knows where you are, he knows what you're thinking and where you are in life. The verses we will read today are probably the most familiar about life in the womb. The Lord gives gives us great details about the formation, about our formation in our mother's womb. Everyone you will meet in life, we all had the same beginning, formed in our mother's womb. Verse 13 of Psalm 139, let's read there. And the verses are all from English Standard. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. The Lord is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He gives life. Job answered the Lord and said this, I know that you can do all things. Job knew the Lord was all-powerful and the life-giving God. In Job 10, he says, your hands fashioned me. Remember that you have made me from clay and will return me to dust. You clothed me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. Job knew that the Lord gives life to the dead. I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. As a boy growing up, I spent a lot of time at my grandparents' house, my mom's parents. My maternal grandmother, we called her Grandma Marge. She was a crocheter. She was an avid crocheter. She had her bag of yarn with different colors, and she had her knitting needles or crocheting needles, and she would just sit there and crochet, knit, while talking to you. She made everyone scarves, hats, mittens, and an afghan. She would let you choose the colors of the afghan, and she made it for you, just how you wanted it. And I would sit and watch her hands just effortlessly knit and crochet as we sat and talked. Several times she tried to teach me how to do it, but I could never figure it out. But she just made it look so easy, you know. So in verse 13, it says, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. The one who made the vast and massive universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, Mount Everest, the Rocky Mountains, this same Lord formed us, knitted us, intricately wove us together in our mother's womb. That's incredible. That's amazing. That's powerful to just sit and think about that. The word inward parts is to create or erect organs. You know, the heart begins beating at 4 weeks after conception. It beats about 100,000 times a day. That's 3 billion beats in a lifetime. During an average lifetime, the heart will pump nearly 1.5 million barrels of blood enough to fill 200 train tanker cars. That's what our heart does. He formed our inward parts. Research suggests that the human brain consists of 86 billion neurons. Each neuron forms connection to the other neurons, which could add up to 1 quadrillion, 1,000 trillion connections. A piece of brain tissue the size of a grain of sand contains 100,000 neurons and 1 billion synapses. The nervous system uses electrical and chemical means to help all parts of the body communicate with each other. If you were to lay out the capillaries, veins, and arteries in the body, it would be 60,000 miles long. Wonderful are his works. The adult human body has 206 bones, 26 bones in the foot, and 54 bones in your hand and wrist. My frame was not hidden from you. He formed all this. How precious are the thoughts of our great and mighty Creator. In our bodies, 60 trillion cells, 100,000 miles of nerve fiber, those 60,000 miles of blood vessels in our bodies, and our heart pumping 2,500 gallons of blood a day. Well, he said we were intricately woven by the hand of the Lord. I praise you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful. We are full of wonder. Just reading and looking up these facts, it's mind-blowing what is in the human body. One thing I struggled with as a kid was my size. I was always the smallest kid, boys and girls included, in my class until about the seventh grade. Then in junior high, I discovered there were two or three other boys my size. When we lined up for gym class, I was from smallest to biggest. I was always, you know, in that first little single digit on your hand. But growing up as a small, undersized boy is not fun. You get bullied, threatened, pushed around, shoved around, punched on a daily basis. Why? Well, for one, you couldn't do anything about it. I wish someone had come to me and put their arm around me and read me these verses to help me understand that for right now, this is how the Lord made you. He's not done with you. What can you learn from this? Trust him. The Lord is knitting you together as he sees what's best for you. You're still a work in progress. He's not done with you. The Lord uses our bodies to keep us humble, to help mold and shape us into the image of Christ. He uses our personal inadequacies to search our hearts and minds, to test us and try us, to make us more like himself. In this fallen world, because of sin entering the human race, some of us are born with a defect in our body. Some of our organs do not function properly. I'm not talking about health issues from destructive behavior, unhealthy lifestyle. But because of sin entering the human race, some of us are born with medical issues. In our home, we had someone born with bad lungs, that's me, a heart issue, and somebody that had a pancreas that expired earlier than we expected. She's smiling. One was fixed by surgery, and the other two are controlled by medication. Whether the Lord sees fit to have our medical condition be controlled by medication or not, it's out of our control. His desire is for us to trust him and use it for our spiritual growth in our daily life, and to praise Him throughout the process. He said, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. He made you. He made me. The way we are for His honor and for His glory. In John 9, we have the story of the man born blind and what caused it. And it says in verse 1, and Jesus passed by. He saw a blind man from birth. And His disciples said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not this man who sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. God would use this blind man to bring glory to His name. What about me? Do I bring glory to the Lord through my sicknesses? Do I bring glory to the Lord when I have illnesses? Do I praise God that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, even though I'm suffering because my intricately woven body is broken? Do I say, woe is me, or use my illness and doctor visits as a missionary, called to reach this unreached people group, whom I can relate to like no other? I know their struggles. I know their heartaches. 1 Peter says, but in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Use your illness as an opportunity to tell others about the hope that lies in you. Do I view my ailment as a gift from the Lord? Born in 1820, at the age of 6 weeks old, she developed a minor eye inflammation. And the doctor's careless treatment left her blind. Fanny Crosby said, it seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life. The doctor who caused Fanny Crosby to lose her sight never forgave himself. In fact, he moved from the area where they lived. But Fanny said, if I could meet him now, I would say, thank you. Thank you over and over and over again for making me blind. I praise you, O Lord. She was praising the Lord for her blindness. In fact, she claimed that if she could have her sight restored, she would not attempt it. She felt that her blindness was God's gift to her, so she could write songs for His glory. This is an amazing quote. I could not have written thousands of hymns if I had been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice. Fanny wrote her first poem when she was 8 years old. It said, I'm sure most of you have heard it, but she said, oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that others don't. So weep or sigh because I'm blind? I cannot, nor I won't. Fanny was greatly influenced by her mother and grandmother and a neighbor lady named Mrs. Hawley. She read to her from the Bible and taught her Bible stories. This is unbelievable, but it said by the time she was 10 years old, She could recite the first four books of the Old Testament and the four Gospels by age 10. In her lifetime, she wrote more than 8,000 songs. Many of them we sing here on a regular basis. She said the first thing she will see is her Savior's face. I praise Him, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says, for there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die. About 23 years ago, the Lord really brought this verse home to me. When our youngest was born, I left the hospital maternity ward. You know, you walk by that glass and there's all those aunts and uncles and grandparents and parents looking in at the through there. At least that's how they did it then. But they're all smiling. Walk away from my wife and daughter and get in the car, and I drove to the funeral parlor. A young mother who succumbed to the disease of cancer. That's why Moses taught us in Psalm 90, for all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70 or even 80 by reason of strength. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone. And we fly away. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. We don't know the length of our days. We don't. But we know who does. The all-knowing Lord. He knows the end from the beginning. That's why he says to teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Value the time you have with your loved ones, because we don't know what tomorrow brings. People and relationships are more important than things. Verse 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. Elizabeth Elliot began her radio program every day with these words. You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. David said in Psalm 145, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Do you ever get tired of hearing that? Or remembering the Lord and his love for each one of us. Wonderful are your works, O Lord. How precious is He? How precious to me are Your vast thoughts, Lord. If I could count them, they're more than sand. You know, the Sahara Desert is 3.3 million square miles of sand. The ocean floors are covered in sand. His precious thoughts to us, they're so precious, so vast, so innumerable. After looking at the Lord's omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence, Davis brings us to the fourth attribute, that He is holy. In His holiness, the Lord judges and destroys evil men, and He searches the hearts of the believer. Evil men desiring to destroy God's people. Verse 19, O Lord, that You would slay the wicked, O God. O men of people, depart from me. They speak against You with malicious intent. Your enemies take Your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate You, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against You? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. A couple of things I noticed as I read this psalm over and over is how each section is connected to the next. In verse 6, it said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. David tells us the Lord knows all about us. But then he follows it up in verse 7 with more wondrous things from the Lord. Where can we go from His Spirit? Where can I flee from His presence? In verse 12, he says, the night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light with You. Then in verse 13, he takes us to a dark place, an unseen place in David's day, a mother's womb. And he brings light to the intimate details about our development in our mother's womb. In verses 17 and 18, he said, how precious are Your thoughts to us? They're more than the sand. We see the wonderful works of God contrasted with verses 19 through 22, the evil men who hate David and want to destroy and kill him. Notice how the Spirit of God guides David about the Lord's hand. In verses 1 through 6, David says, You hem me in behind and before and lay Your hand upon me. When we get to verses 7 through 12, in the uttermost parts of the sea, the Lord is holding our hand and leading us. When we get to verses 13 through 18, the hand of the Lord, with the hand of the Lord, were intricately woven. And in verses 19 through 24, the hand of the Lord is not mentioned. Why? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Psalm 139 is also known as an imprecatory psalm. And that word imprecate means to utter a curse. The imprecatory psalms are those in which the author imprecates, that is, calls down calamity, destruction, and God's anger and judgment on His enemies. Oops. So when we study or look at an imprecatory psalm, it's important to remember that David did not write this out of vindictiveness or a need for personal revenge or vengeance. Instead, he's asking the Lord for His justice and His sovereignty and protection from the wicked men. Remember, we don't know the date that David wrote Psalm 139. After Samuel had anointed David king, he defeated Goliath, and shortly after that, he spent the next 10 to 15 years fleeing from Saul and his men Saul and his men were hunting and pursuing David as a hunter does wild game. Yet in verses 23 and 24, David's response is, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." He's saying, "Search me, all-knowing God. Examine intimately. Penetrate my heart." David is crying out to the Lord, "Dig deep into my heart. Look for sin. Root around in my heart to see if there are any impurities in there. Clean it up." Years ago at the St. Louis Area Wide Believers Conference, years ago they would have one black man that was a speaker and one white guy. Well, the black guy used this example, and I keep thought about it many times over the years. He said he was visiting a poor elderly widow at her home. It was an older area of their city, and she offered him a glass of water. Well, her vision wasn't that good, and her dishwashing skills had slipped with age. And she hands him a glass of water, but the glass is dirty. He didn't say anything. He looked at it and he's like, "Okay, Lord, I don't want to offend this sweet little old lady." So during his visit, he choked down that glass of water. He left and went home and he kept thinking about that dirty glass. He said he was reading the next day and he read this: "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And he thought, "You know what? Sometimes I have to drink out of a dirty glass, but God doesn't drink out of dirty glasses." He said, "Be holy, for I am holy." David says, "Search my heart, know my heart, cleanse me." David does not point to his enemies and say, "Lord, look at these guys. They're evil. They're trying to kill me. They want to harm me." No, he says, "Search me. Examine thoroughly my heart for evil. Try me. Test me. Know my thoughts." David is saying, "Lord, know my thought life. Examine my heart. Examine my thoughts. Scrutinize my thoughts. You, the omniscient God, look. Look deep inside of me and see. Lord, burn away the dross from my life. Remove it. Cleanse it." Cleanse is a great word. "Lord, burn up the idols in my life and see." He knows all. He sees all, if there's any wicked or grievous way in me. The word wicked or grievous is actually idol. "Lord, see if there are any idols in my heart and mind, and then lead me closer to you." Someone said the human heart is an idol factory. David says, "Lord, remove the idols from my life." Isaiah 44 tells a story about a man who cut down a tree, and with the wood he built a fire to warm himself. Then he takes more wood and he kindles a fire to bake some bread. And with the rest of it, he carves it into a god, his idol, and he falls down and worships it. He prays to it and says, "Deliver me, you're my God." "Lord, lead me from my secret idols and lead me in the everlasting way. Lead me in your way, the way, the path of the Lord." How many more idols are available to us today than in David's time? The Lord is always testing our hearts and minds to see if there is any unclean way or idol in me. In today's passage, the Lord reveals to us that we were intricately woven by His hand. He allowed our body to be made the way He wanted it, warts and all. Why? Well, so we can bring glory, bring Him the greatest glory where we are. I remember right after I became a believer, there was a song that would play on the Christian radio, and all I remember is the guy would sing and he'd say, "Light your world." We need to light our world. And the Lord uses our enemies, yes, our enemies, to cleanse and purify our hearts. We can gripe and complain about them, or we can allow the Lord to use them as a tool to burn the dross of those idols from deep inside of our hearts and minds. The Lord sought out a man after His own heart and found David. May the Lord find us men and women with a heart for the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank You for Your word and Your spirit that lives within us. We ask that You would allow You, the all-knowing Lord, to search our hearts today. Search us, test us, remove the idols from our lives, the things that hinder us from our walk with You. Help us to draw closer to You, more intimate to You. In Jesus' name, amen.